Rabbeinu Yonah in Shari Tshuva writes that there's three reasons why we have a suda, why we have a meal on an Erev Yom Kippur, the day before Yom Kippur. One reason, he says, is pretty straightforward. Practically, we need to have strength for the fast, that we shouldn't get physically damaged by the fast. A second reason, Rabbeinu Yonah says, which is quite creative, I think, is that Yom Kippur is a yontif, so really it should deserve, it should demand to have a suda like every other yontif. So why don't we have a suda on Yom Kippur? Well, obviously why? Because we have a mitzvah to fast. So what do? We do the suda of Yom Kippur the day before. So instead of having the sudas yontif of Yom Kippur on Yom Kippur proper, we do it the day before. The third reason, says Rabbeinu Yonah, is we have a suda on the day before Yom Kippur to show how happy we are and how excited we are that our Day of Atonement has finally arrived. The nusach of the davening in Atav V'chartanu, as it is on every yontif, is Atav V'chartanu, Hashem, you chose us, you sanctified us, you exalted us. And then it says, when it talks about the particular yontif that we're holding in, Vatitei manu Hashem Elokeinu be'ahava es yom, whatever the day is. And of course on Yom Kippur, it's Yom HaKippurim. Hashem, you gave us with love this day, right? On Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaZikaron, Yom Trua, on Yom Kippur, Yom HaKippurim. We see from these words, and really it's self-evident, but it's explicit in these words, that Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah as well, is Matanah. It's a gift. It's a gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to us. Why? Because He loves us. That's what it says. V'atitim lanu Hashem Elokeinu v'avas Yom HaKippurim hazeh. V'smicha l'mechila v'lakapara. Hashem loves us, so He wants to give us a day that we could push it, wipe away all the mistakes of the past. So what's perhaps interesting about this, or maybe a little bit sticky about this, is that a lot of us, maybe even most of us, but certainly a lot of people, might not necessarily feel that way about Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Yemei Teshuva, and Yom Kippur. You know, a gift, certainly if it's a gift which is being given out of love, is usually something that a person is excited to get. You know, I'm happy to get a gift. Well, I like presents. Presents are nice. But something that you're not really looking forward to, and you're pretty relieved when it's all done, and it's over, that doesn't really sound like a gift. So if that's the way a person feels about Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Yemei Teshuva, and Yom Kippur, then obviously something in the picture is off. There's something which is not quite right. And the question is, why? You know, what's going on over here? Before I deal with that, I mean, it's more of an issue than a question, but before dealing with that issue, let's ask another one or two questions. What's this time period that we're currently in all about? It's all about tshuva. Aseres Yemei Teshuva. It's a time for doing tshuva. Dir Shashem b'imatzai, seek out the Almighty when He is to be found. Kera'u b'yaseh karayv, call out to Him when he's close. Elu sechazal aseres yom shemi b'in Rosh Hashanah l'yom HaKippurim. The 10 days, beginning with Rosh Hashanah and culminating with Yom Kippur, are the days about which the Pasuk said that Hashem is close. Hashem is to be found, so to speak. In other words, as Chazal and the Rishonim explain, this time period is a time when it's very easy for tshuva to be accepted. Hashem is very, with open arms, so to speak. You know, if you come and just say you're sorry and, you know, think about how you're going to be better in the future, so Hashem is very, very willing and ready and, you know, easygoing, so to speak, to accept it. As opposed to, after this time period, it's not necessarily like that. You know, if things were done wrong, particularly if they were serious things, it could take a lot more. As an aside, it's important to note, as Chazal and the Rishonim say, that's only insofar as an individual is concerned. When it comes to the Tzibur, when it comes to a whole community, a community that, on the communal level, engages in tefillah and tshuva, in davening and doing tshuva, has that level of accessibility all year long. All year long. And it's an explicit pasuk, because I'll bring a pasuk. Me, That Hashem is so close to us whenever we call out to Him. Anytime we call out to Him. The Gemara says it explicitly. That when a tzibur, when a community, as a community, davens for something and does tshuva, they have the same power that is available to every yachid, to every individual, during these very special days of Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Now, what constitutes communal tefillah and communal tshuva? It's probably deserving of a whole shir in of itself. But it's certainly worthwhile to at least be aware of it as a parenthetic statement. In any event, so the time period that we're in is all a time of basically taking stock of everything we did over the previous year and years prior, if we haven't done it up until this point, and really taking an honest look at ourselves and making an assessment and trying to fix up what we did wrong. Beg forgiveness. So here's a very simple, straightforward question. Wouldn't it make a lot more sense if these 10 days were at the end of the year instead of the beginning? We're already in Tav Shinayin Vav. We're already in the new year. Why are we waiting until the new year begins to assess everything we did over the previous year and try to figure out all the things that we did wrong and make up for them and fix them and say sorry for them, etc.? Wouldn't it make a lot more sense to spend the last 10 days of the previous year, meaning spend the last 10 days of the year engaging in this cleansing tshuva process, so that way you can begin the year, the new year, on a totally fresh, clean slate? That's one question. Another question, which is kind of the same thing, maybe not quite, from a different angle. Why is the order Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Yemei Tshuva, Yom Kippur? I could have suggested that the exact opposite order, well, not the exact opposite, but almost the opposite order, would have made a lot more sense. In other words, what? First, let's have Aseres Yemei Tshuva culminating with Yom Kippur, get us completely clean, and then we're really worthy of coronating the kingship of the Almighty. We made ourselves clean from all sin. We're now totally devoted to Him. And now we could honestly, truthfully, and really say, Hashem Yimlech Lailam Vayet, Hashem is the Melech. Why do we start off with Rosh Hashanah? It seems almost counterintuitive. L'chayr would have made more sense, the first of Aseres Yemei Tshuva and Yom Kippur, and then of Rosh Hashanah. And that question really is a separate question, because that's irrespective of whether if it would be at the end of the year or the beginning of the year. So what I'd like to suggest, as far as the first question goes, is the following. If Aseres Yemei Tshuva, if this whole tshuva process would be at the end of the year, the last 10 days of the year, it would put us in a frame of mind of retroactive focus, of focusing and dwelling on the past. The Chiddush Yarim has a very interesting idea that he says that what is Sur Meira? What does it mean to go away from evil? He said it doesn't mean to wallow in misery and bitterness over mistakes that you've done. This is his opinion. It could be that, you know, if you learn Rabbeinu Yonah and Shai Tshuva, it sounds like a different approach, but this is the approach of the Chiddush Yarim. The approach of the Chiddush Yarim is that Sur Meira means get your head out of the mud. He says as long as you're wallowing in bitterness and feelings of guilt over whatever things wrong you've done, then that's where your head is. And that's where you are. So you're in the Ra. You're in the mud. So says the Chiddush Yarim, when it comes to hitting your chest and saying the vidui, what we translate as the confession, for lack of a better term, really vidui, the literal translation of the word vidui means to make a statement, but okay, in the context of tshuva, it's not a mistranslation to say confession. So when you're saying your confession, the Chiddush Yarim says, say it quickly, say it real quick. Obviously, he doesn't mean say it so quick that you don't even know what you're saying and you can't think of the words, but he holds, say it quickly. And then go back to talking about how amazing Hashem is, how powerful He is, how good He is, how He makes such incredible things in the world. Go back to Malchus Hashem. Because that's Sur Meira. Sur Meira means get your head out of the mud. That's according to the Chiddush Yarim. Now, we don't necessarily have to take this statement of the Chiddush Yarim to the extreme the way he does it, but the point, I think, is universal. irrespective of whether you're going to adopt his approach on the practical level or not, the idea, the concept that he's conveying, I do believe is is universal, that if a Aseres B'Tshuva would be at the end of the year, you would be stuck in the past. It would have you focused on the past. You'd just be wallowing in the past. By putting Aseres B'Tshuva at the beginning of the new year, do you know what that clearly is conveying to us? What Hashem is clearly conveying to us is that I want your tshuva process to be forward focused. I want you to be focused on the future. I want you to be positive oriented. I want you to be goal oriented. I want you to be moving further along your life's growth path. That's what I want. So he puts the Aseres Me'Tshuva, Hashem put the Aseres Me'Tshuva for us at the beginning of the new year in order to emphasize to us and to indicate to us clearly that this tshuva process is not something about just, you know, inwardly whining, so to speak, over our spilled milk, which has gone sour. No! It's about making an assessment and fixing things up so that we can grow towards the future and into the future. So that's as far as the first question is concerned. And as far as the second question is concerned, why Rosh Hashanah comes first, I think it's a very similar concept. Again, slightly different angle, but it fits very nicely. If we would start off with the tshuva process, there exists the possibility that a person might feel so distraught and so upset and so bitter over the things that he's done that he might feel that tshuva is beyond him. Tshuva's just beyond him. You know, the tendency of human nature is that when a person recognizes his own failings and his own flaws, if he really dwells on them, you know, depending on how serious they are, not serious they are, but according to his standing, a person can get really frustrated by his own failings and his own flaws. I remember speaking to someone years ago who was very, very frustrated by what he perceived as his inability to control his anger. To have proper anger management. And, you know, it's something that a lot of people struggle with, anger management. Other people struggle with other types of challenges. But if a person is focused on them, a lot of times it is possible for a person to feel, you know, just a sense of hopelessness. Just, how could I even do this? What does this have to do with me? I know that I'm just going to wind up falling again. So Hashem starts us off right from the beginning with Rosh Hashanah. Now, what's Rosh Hashanah all about? Rosh Hashanah is all about Hashem is the King. What? Hashem, you want me to declare you King? But don't you know everything that I've got? Oh, yeah, he does know. He knows better than you know. He knows better than anybody. And yeah, he's saying to you, as you are, right now, before you've done any tshuva, you haven't even started Aseres Me'Tshuva. Of course we have Elulim, we have Slichus, and we do try to do some tshuva before Rosh Hashanah. But in terms, as far as the basic structure, the way Hashem set it up, is that Hashem is saying, even if you haven't done one iota of tshuva, I want you to come and I want you to make me king. Not only does he say, I want you to make me king, but you know what one of the psukim of Malchus that we say on Rosh Hashanah is? We spoke about this last week, if I remember correctly. You know what Rashi, how Rashi explains Usruas Melech Boy? Sruas is Milashon Reya Mahuvim. Reya David, Reya Chab, Reya Avicha. Reya is a friend. By the way, I once was wondering, why is it that the word Reya, which is spelled Reish Ayin, just as it's Seirei under the Reish, the word Reya is the same exact letters as the word Ra, evil, bad. Doesn't that seem odd that a friend should be the same exact word as the word for bad and evil? And all of a sudden, one day it hit me. Yeah, because you know what the litmus test of a true friend is? The litmus test of a true friend is someone who's with you during the bad times just as much as the good times. He doesn't dump you just because things right now are bad, even if they really are, because he's your friend. He's truly connected to you. Hashem, the pasuk says, is Reacha v'Rea Avicha. The Gemara says one of the explanations that the Gemara gives for V'ahavta l'Reacha Kamaicha, for love your friend as yourself? And Hillel explains, my da'alach sani l'chavrach al-tavid, that which you don't like, don't do to your friend. Rashi's, one of Rashi's explanations, if I'm remembering correctly, is it's talking about Hashem. Because the pasuk says, Rashi brings the pasuk, Re'achav Re'avich. I don't remember where the pasuk is, but Rashi brings a pasuk that says, Re'achav Re'avich. Hashem is your friend. And He's the friend of your ancestors as well. He's your friend. Because even during the bad, He doesn't dump you. Yisrael afa fi shechata Yisraelu. That's how we paskin. That even if a Yid does the worst of errors, he's still a Jew. And he still has this covenant with God, with the Almighty. He's bound himself, so to speak, to us for all eternity. So yeah, that's what Hashem is saying to us. Hashem is saying, as you are, I want you to come now on Rosh Hashanah, and I want you to be mamlech me. You, Jews, you're the ones who make me king in this world. As it says in the Davening, and every single creature with breath in its nostrils will say what? Won't say Hashem Melech. Hashem is king. Hashem Elikei Yisrael Melech. That even in the time when the entire world, when it will come to fruition, that on that day, the entire world will recognize that Hashem is one. Even during that time, it's not Hashem Melech. It's Hashem Elikei Yisrael Melech. Hashem, the Lord of Yisrael, is Melech. Meaning that the kingship, the lordship, the mastery of the Almighty in His world is manifest and represented in the Jewish people. Usruas Melech Bayis, says Rashi, what does that mean? The friendship of the king is in him, is in the Jewish people. Is in you, every single one of the Jewish people. The Jewish people as a whole, and every single Jewish person on the individual level. And like we spoke out last week, if I remember correctly, that what that means is that you, every single Jew, and the Jewish people as a whole, are an inseparable part, as it were, of the Malchus of Hashem. We are the ones who are close to the King. We are the ones that He takes into His confidence, as it were. We are the ones that He relies on to carry out those acts of monarchy, of spreading the goodness into the world, the Ur, the light into the world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us all this about us. Yes, you are the ones who make me king. You are the ones that are close to me. You are the ones that represent me. In you is manifest my kingship to the world. Even as you are, even with all the ra, you are my Reya, says Hashem, Useru Asmalach Boy, you have my friendship and you are my friend, even with all the ra that you have. Because that's not really what defines you, as we spoke out before. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't look at the avniyus of the Jewish people. He doesn't look at their sinfulness. He doesn't say, oh, these are sinful people. No, it's okay, sins were done. If sins were done, things have to be done. It has to be dealt with. It could be that it'll need a punch. It could be that punishment will be... It could be. Yeah, things need to be dealt with. But Hashem says, even with all that, your essential character is a manifestation of my kingship in the world. That is what you are. And therefore, even before any significant, substantial truth process has begun, you, even as you are, come now, Rosh Hashanah, you're the one who's going to coronate me king, so to speak. So what does that do? That gives the person, both, again, on the individual and the communal level, the awareness of self-worth, an empowerment that enables him to do tshuva. Because without that, there exists a danger that a person could just throw in the towel, give up. Who am I and what am I? No, no, no. What do you mean, who are you and what are you? Even as you are the Mamlechas Hashem. You're the one who declares and coronates the Almighty King. You are the one who manifests His kingship. You are the one who's close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So coming back to what we started with, which is the issue that we have, or that at least some people have, perhaps many people, perhaps even most people, that we sometimes find it difficult to relate to these days as a gift. I would like to suggest the following mashal to explain how this could happen. Here's the mashal. you have a big company, very successful, doing good business, really working its way up the corporate ladder in the world. And it's run by a CEO who, believe it or not, cares more than just about his own wallet. He actually really does care about his employees. He really appreciates them. He really feels gratitude towards them for the fact that they are the ones doing all the legwork that make his company what it is and make him what he is. So what does he do? He decides that he really wants to afford every single employee, literally down to the last one, an opportunity to grow. You know, a person could have a nice job making 50 grand a year, 60 grand a year, 150 grand a year, maybe even 250 grand a year, but there's always room for growth. There's always room for growth. Just talk to anybody who's in those numbers. Everybody's looking for growth. But sometimes a person, you know, could feel like, listen, I'm already making 80, 90, 150, 250, whatever it is. You know, it's good. It's good. It's fine. But the CEO knows, yeah, but there's always room for growth. And he wants every single employee to have an opportunity to get to that next level. So what does he do? He creates a once a year weekend getaway seminar. They go somewhere up to the mountains, beautiful hotel resort, and they have a weekend seminar. There's presentations from the greatest minds all over the world, greatest business minds in the world. They have group discussions. They have reading material. I mean, really the works. And the accommodations are fantastic. Just everything is set up literally down to the last detail so that everybody can have the maximum opportunity to really be able to make an assessment of all their successes, all their work successes over the previous year, and also to realize what mistakes they may have made and how they can improve. And literally everybody comes out of this seminar just, it's a wowing type of seminar. Everybody feels this tremendous sense of inspiration and empowerment. Wow, you know, this is really taking us to the next level of what we can do. Of productivity, effectiveness, just really taking each person up to the next rung. The next year, again, it was a smashing success the first year, he does it again. And there's new employees, you know, there's obviously every company has turnover in terms of its employees. You know, it has its pluses and its minuses. But that's the reality of life. And the rookies are hearing about this seminar already like a month or two in advance because of all the hype that it generated from the first time. And they're talking about how it's such an opportunity and you will not believe what you're going to learn at this seminar. You think that you're doing good now, you're going to realize that you could be doing even much better. It's just unbelievable. And everybody's really hyped up for it and really excited for it. And again, it's a smashing success. The textbooks that they have available just really open up their minds to all different types of modalities of thought and behavior and different types of presentations and group discussions where people's minds and hearts literally get opened up in a way where they just realize how they can fix mistakes that they made, how to increase and amplify the successes that they have, how to branch out and grow in ways that they never thought of, etc. So again, the same thing repeats itself the third year. And people are talking and they're discussing already a month or two or even 3 months in advance. You know, we've really got to prepare ourselves and put everything together for this weekend seminar to make sure that we get the most out of it because it's such a rare opportunity. It's a once a year opportunity. We want to make absolutely certain that we don't miss out on this opportunity. And the next year, the way they're talking about it is this opportunity, once a year opportunity, we've got to make sure that we do everything that we possibly can to maximize it. And people are already preparing, you know, different books that they're going to bring in, different talking points for group discussions. And they start saying, and of course the CEO is really counting on us to make sure that we really make the most of this because this is what the company needs for its growth. And the next year, the way that people are talking about it is already The focus shifted more to for the sake of the CEO and the company, more so than for the sake of the employees. And they're saying, wow, we really better make sure that we get everything out of this seminar that possibly we could get out of it, because otherwise the CEO is going to be really let down. He's going to be really disappointed. And the company, you know, this is for the good of the company. And if we don't do this, then we're totally letting down the company. We're letting down the CEO. And it could have seriously negative repercussions if we don't manage to really get everything out of this that we can get out of it. And that's how things progress from year to year, to the point that 10 years down the line, people are dreading this yearly weekend getaway seminar. Why? Why are they dreading it? Because the pressure to maximize this opportunity, the pressure to make sure that a person actually does wind up making a good assessment of himself and catching whatever mistakes he made over the past year or years and really growing to that next level for the next year, becomes so intense, the pressure becomes so strong that it gets to the point where people just feel overwhelmed. They're just so overwhelmed by it, they're dreading it coming, and they cannot wait until it's over. And this goes on for a number of years, where and the company slowly starts to have a downslide. And the CEO calls in one of his, you know, chief executives, and he has a real talk with him, and he says, what's going on? Why is there seem to be a shift in trend of the direction of the company? And the executive starts off by hemming and hawing, but the CEO pushes him and says, listen, I need to know this. So he says, well, if I'm going to be honest with you, and this is a chief executive who's only been part of the company for 3 years, he has no idea what it was like 10, 15 years ago when they first started this once a year weekend getaway seminar. He says, if you really need to know, I think it's that end of the year weekend seminar that you always do and that you always put so much into. People dread it. It creates such a pressure for them. Some people even worry about it the whole year. Some people start worrying about it 3 months in advance. And people are just so overwhelmed, and they feel that it's so overbearing that you're just trying to squeeze every last ounce out of us, that, you know, people have lost the will to really push themselves. They just feel that no matter what, there's no chance that they're ever going to manage to match up to what it is that you want and demand of them. And the CEO smacks his forehead and he says, what are you talking about? The yearly weekend seminar? You mean the one that I instituted for the sake of my employees, that they should have the opportunity to get to the next level? Are you kidding me? That is what's doing it? And the CEO, after hearing the whole story, realizes what happened. And he gathers the whole company with all the 1,564 employees. And he gives a very important speech. And he says, my friends, this weekend seminar is not about me. I am more than wealthy enough to retire 20 years ago. The only reason why I keep this company open is because I'm employing 1,564 people, and I really care about every single one of you. I value every single one of my employees. I instituted this weekend seminar so that everybody should have the opportunity to grow, so that people shouldn't feel that, you know, they have to be static, that they should have an opportunity to really get to the next level, to get ahead in life. I saw a quote. I don't remember who said it. I don't know if it was from a Jew or not. Don't live the same year 75 times and call that a life. In other words, it's a little bit sharp, but there's a point. And the point is that life really is meant to be about growth, about always moving to the next level. And it's not because we owe it to someone else. It's because that's how we achieve what we're able to achieve. That's how we get the success that we so badly want inside of ourselves. And he explained to them, of course I don't want you killing and yourselves over this weekend seminar. Obviously I meant that each person should take this opportunity and take out of it what he's able to get out of it, according to each person's abilities. And after this whole speech, there was like this collective sigh of relief. And not only a collective sigh of relief, but just this sense of, wow, we just were totally missing the boat, weren't we? And I think the nimshal of this mashal is self-explanatory. Hashem does not make a Rosh Hashanah and an Aseret Tshuva and Yom Kippur because He needs it. He makes it for us. V'titen lanu Hashem Elokeinu ba'ava es Yom HaKippurim hazeh. Hashem does not demand from us more than what is possible for us to do. That's obvious. Like Chazal tell us, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba betrunya im b'riyaisav. He's not here to make problems for us. He's here to give to us. That's what He created us for. He created us to give to us. So I think that with this in mind, it's possible for a person to have a shift of focus and to view Rosh Hashanah, Aseret Metshuva, and Yom Kippur for what they really are. They're gifts from Hashem. These days are gifts from Hashem, an opportunity for us within a framework, within a frame of mind of forward, positive, goal-oriented thinking, within a frame of mind of understanding that Hashem is Re'acha V'Re'avicha U'Sruas Melech Bayit, that understanding that no matter what, through thick and thin, that even with all the bad, Re'acha V'Re'avicha, that Re'ah is Reish Ayin because a friend is with you even when times are bad. Even when things are bad right now, your friend stays with you. And Hashem says, you, I want you to come and be mamlich me on Rosh Hashanah. You, as you are. So that you understand how great you are. So that you understand what potential you have. So that you understand how significant you are. And how precious you are. And then you can understand from that frame of mind, when you're looking towards the future, and understanding that Surah may rise, the Chiddush HaRim says, means get your mind out of the mud. Don't keep your head in the mud. Put yourself into the forward future thinking, goal, positive oriented modality of Hashem Melech. Hashem, and that Hashem Melech is Hashem Elokei Yisrael Melech. That His Malchus is manifest through us. And we view the Rosh Hashanah, Aseret Metshuva, and Yom Kippur as a gift, a present. That's what it is. It's a present. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a present. This amazing present to be able to afford us the opportunity that through making a comprehensive, honest assessment of our lives, of the previous year, we're able to grow in Mirtz Hashem with His help towards the future. Hashem should help every single one of us that we should be able to truly view it for what it is. This beautiful, amazing gift from Him. Gemar Chasim HaTayva.